on this week's episode of Third and Forever. Kevin and I are back in studio to do our complete round one mock draft. Normally we have three people doing this and we kind of rotate through. It's just Kevin and I this week, and we're going to be just alternating. We, for the first time ever in our show's history, we will have a trade that happens because we sure believe there is an inevitability of that, and especially when it concerns one of our teams. So we're going to work out that in the beginning of this, and then we're going to go pick by pick the whole entire first round, alternating picks, and what we think will happen, plus just one trade. All right, let's go. This episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. I want to tell you about the easiest way to get some action on sports. It's Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or least favorite player stats, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Underdog keeps it super simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your Pick'em entry, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use the code 10K and get your first deposit doubled, up to $100 by Underdog. Once again, that's code 10K on the Underdog app or go to www.underdogfantasy.com. Welcome to this week's episode of Third and Forever, presented by 10,000 Takes. I'm your host, Adam Osdren, always by my co-host, Kevin Ulm, and not producer Dustin Lucco. Kevin, we're back in studio, still without a producer.
Well, we did try to have a producer.
We're recording this on Sunday.
Yeah, we moved it a day and he still can't be here.
Yeah.
Which is also, I think, good to mention just in case something crazy happens on Monday, I guess,
yeah,
or later today, but probably not. We typically record on Mondays. This is a Sunday, and it's not only is it a Sunday, it's a Sunday like in the daytime, like the sun is shining through the window and I'm feeling a little attacked because I look like a piece of paper on the video screen right now.
It's just being assaulted by
the
sun.
I'm wearing like a beige quarter zip too. I just look like a ghost out there.
Yeah,
but
it's not great for you.
No.
Not a great look.
No, the sun is very strong.
So we're back in studio here and we're going to be going through our mock draft. So normally we'd be rotating, you know, between the three of us. And every year before this year,
we sure would.
Yeah, every year before this year, we would not have a trade. Well, considering that the Vikings are, I mean, it seems all but official that they will be trading up.
Mm-hmm.
How far we go, that's to be determined. Feels like it's going to happen. So it would be silly to have the Vikings pick at 11 and 23 because we just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, and so to try and keep this somewhat manageable here, because mm-hmm. I don't think we want to open it up to trades. I had an idea where we could do like an oops all trades, which is every pick is a trade, but that feels unsustainable.
Yeah.
So I think it would make sense if we give the Vikings, you know, the what is 11 and 23,
yeah,
right? So those two for, you know, moving up into the top five, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Like and there's probably going to be
futures
when this happens,
like
yeah, there's going to be other details to it. But functionally for this first round, if we're on the same page with that, then I guess the only thing that we need to do is figure out where we think it's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think, every time we go with this too, we always mention like, oh, so-and-so, this team feels like they could be trading up or trading down. Like we'll call those out.
Yeah.
But I think we're only going to like the Bills. I think the Bills are a very popular one to trade up. For a receiver, especially now that Stephon Diggs is gone and Cabe Davis is gone. So, and the way they pick, I think it's what, 28. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to be sticking at 28. They're probably going to try to get up into those high 20s, but we're not going to do that. So, I think it would make the most sense here to start just going through. And I think the way I mapped it out, I think it makes sense if I go first, you go second.
All of our picks are odd number picks in theory, but
just unfortunately.
I mean,
but
you
then
get two,
when
I get
we
one.
Get
we
to,
can flip
when we
Packers.
Get to it. We can double you up on one of them when we get down there. But
so, but who do you think is trading with the Vikings right now? Are we going like I could see it being
so I think,
Chargers or Cardinals?
I think there's
type
like
of thing?
There's two main candidates that I am kind of envisioning here,
uh-huh,
and based on the word of on the streets, it seems like the Vikings have a plan A and a plan B in place.
Okay.
And the plan A, in my opinion, and as well as I know friend of the pod, Dustin Baker, we were chatting about this offline, and as well as a bunch of other people, the Patriots are the plan A.
Really?
That's where I know that they've been. It's very, very much a lot of smoke screens going on right now, but Elliot Wolf, their GM, quote unquote, because they don't have a GM title, but he's essentially their GM.
Okay.
He had a press conference saying that, you know, just recently, just this past week, that they are open for all moves, whether that's trading up, trading down,
trading sideways.
Yeah, trading sideways.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing to say, like a week out from the draft. And it, you could look at it like, well, maybe he's just trying to up the price.
But like, if they already have like a handshake and that's, deal, but, and that's why would he say that?
I think he's probably trying to get better offers, like even a better offer. I think they have.
He's looking for something on the side.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the Vikings have something in place tentatively in the event that Jaden Daniels goes to two, because that's been a very common report too, that the Patriots love Jaden Daniels. They like Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, but maybe not at that three spot.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like, if Jaden Daniels is there at three, they're going to take him. But if he's not there, then they're like, well, we don't love the guy to take at three. Why don't we get a bunch of assets? So that's where I think they have a deal, like a handshake deal in place.
Okay.
And they're going to wait until draft day to see how the number two spot goes, because I think they've probably tried trading up. But I don't think the Commanders are like, no, we're sticking. We like.
Yeah,
we
definitely think one and two are unattainable.
Yeah,
and I think there's a world where three happens.
I wouldn't say it's like, oh, it's a sure thing. It's gonna happen. I mean, I was chatting with you know, friend Branson yesterday, and like, is it the most likely thing to happen? Probably not. But I still think that's, if the Vikings could have it their way, that's their number one choice.
Well, so in that case, then, with the caveat that I want you guys to pick the last quarterback available, if at all possible, I am okay with doing the trade with the Patriots because when we do stuff on this show, we are constantly wrong.
Minus me when it comes to the draft, though.
Eh. I mean, Bijan. But like with the Vikings, like you called Bijan.
We've never done a trade. We've never done a trade or anything. Like that.
Yeah, and I guess Vikings, we're 0 for 0 on
like
trades.
We did a couple years ago where Trey Lance fell to the Vikings. Like,
yeah,
you know, now
that would have been fun.
Yeah, and that was that was the draft. I'm pretty sure where we traded back and we got Darisaw. Yeah, I think that was that
Yeah, draft. I believe that was it. So, you know, I'm good with us just saying at the jump, Vikings are going to give both their first rounders to the Patriots.
Probably next year's first, and then maybe a swap of some later.
Yeah, day two, but day for our picks, purposes, just 23-11, 4-3. So we'll give the Patriots those two picks in the mock, and we'll keep going.
Okay. So with that, first pick, it's going to be Caleb Williams. It's a
what?
Like, insanely known for a long time, like especially with the Justin Fields. Caleb Williams is going to be a Bear.
I wanted you to go like Michael Penix. Just like,
Justin's not here.
It's going to be Spencer Rattler. Everyone knows.
Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams. This is a unique situation where, like, end of last year in college football, everyone's like, well, Caleb Williams will be the number one pick. Mm-hmm. And that never wavered. There was a little tiny early buzz that maybe Drake May is 1B,
mm-hmm.
but then that kind of fizzled out. And it's literally just like, all right, it's Caleb Williams.
And Jaden Daniels kind of came on this year. But there was a little bit with Caleb Williams. Like, it was such a foregone conclusion that he had the highest ceiling, I think, that we got bored of it, and there started to be, you know, he wouldn't talk to the media. He cried, like, God forbid, you know, stuff like that. And he is kind of a character, it seems like. I'm interested to see how this goes with the fingernails and the, you know, the pink phone.
The photo shoots. Yeah.
Not wearing a dress.
And see, like, that's a thing, though. Like, you know, it's... like, people are just itching to grab onto something when they're going after, like, things like that. Because like, there's nothing on the field that you're like, because he has so many, like, holy shit plays. And, like, you know, it's not good for the discourse if you just say, wow, he's amazing. What an amazing prospect. You need to have some bit. And I get that's where it's like, you got to have the takes. And that's what people are trying to do.
Yeah, and this is one of those things, too, where I just think the Bears, it's a similar situation to, like, Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck are the guys that come to mind in terms of, like, these consensus number one guys where you almost have to take them, because if you don't and they turn out good, you know, if they did take a Jaden Daniels or somebody else, like, and then Caleb Williams becomes what everyone thinks he's going to become, you are crucified forever.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, that's just how it works. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think that's too contentious.
All right, number two.
Yeah, number two. This one is interesting because the Commanders need a quarterback. The Sam Howell experiment failed. Is he? He's not even still there, is he?
No, he's at Seattle.
That's right. Yeah. So that failed. They need a quarterback, and they're picking number two. So it really comes down to Drake May or Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And at first, I think that, you know, kind of earlier in the offseason, a lot of speculation was on Drake May.
Yeah.
Because he just, he kind of, like you say, he seemed like the 1B a little bit at first when people were talking about these guys and, you know, a UNC quarterback and all that good stuff. However, the odds have shifted pretty massively in favor of Jaden Daniels in the last month or so. So Vegas usually knows what they're talking about.
To a degree, yeah.
And especially, you know, because everyone knows Caleb Williams going first. So essentially, you know, the Commanders can plan around whatever they want. There's no ambiguity about what's happening in front of them. So I'm going to give him Jaden Daniels here at the 102. I think that that is the most likely outcome.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Despite how weird his elbow looks, we're just going to gloss over that guy.
Yeah. Okay. That brings up, in our hypothetical here, if the Vikings get their way and get a go with plan A that I'm thinking that they have in place, then I have the Vikings on the clock at number three.
And now I got to set up this freaking trade. I got to click all these buttons.
Yeah, I already got it going.
But yeah, no, but I got to do it because I got to use, I'm a peasant. I don't have PFF Plus or whatever.
Premium.
Trade has been rejected. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay, I'm just going to throw in like everything from 2025. I think it got rejected by the Patriots.
Interesting.
Yeah, so let me work on that. Yeah. I'm going to sell the farm
with,
for you guys.
With that, the Minnesota Vikings on the clock, and if they get this, get up to three, they are going to be sprinting to the podium and announcing that they will be drafting Drake May, the very first time that the Vikings in franchise history have drafted a quarterback in the top 10, let alone the top 5.
I did have to give up every pick in 2025 for you guys. So you have no picks next year.
Well, all right, that's fine. So yeah, Drake May is someone that I've spoken very fondly of. I know last episode I mentioned that, you know, he is probably Kevin O'Connell's perfect kind of quarterback prospect, and it's something, yes, he has some issues, maybe with a little footwork, get a little squirrely with the mechanics, but that's all coachable. I mean, that's all something that you can clean up. It's the intangibles that I think are so alluring about him and maybe puts him ahead of, you know, the J.J. McCarthy. And
And week one, he's going to be the best UNC quarterback in the history of the NFL, probably.
Probably.
He's going to start.
Probably.
Just a little bit above Trubisky.
Ultra-competitive guy. His teammates spoken very highly of him, obviously. It's all the things you want in a quarterback. And plus, we have the connection of having Josh McCown, his old high school coach, is in the building as our quarterback coach. So
seems like you guys are getting pretty thirsty over there. I don't know. You're just hiring people. This guy knew.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Coach him. So Drake May, come on down.
Yeah. And that one's not as shocking to me. Like, that would have been a whoa moment, except we've been talking about this for a month and a half, and I knew exactly where you were going with that one. All right. So that brings us to the Arizona Cardinals at number four. The Arizona Cardinals are a team with they're in a weird spot because you still have Kyler Murray, and in theory, he's still the guy. I think that confidence has eroded a little bit, but at this point in the draft, too, you got quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. There's no way that they're going to go out here and take a J.J. McCarthy or anybody else left on the board.
No.
And there is kind of one guy that is highly touted, that fits their needs, and it's Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
If the draft falls in this order, I would be absolutely floored if they didn't take Marvin Harrison Jr.
If they got cute, try to trade down or something?
Yeah, because they don't really have an alpha wide receiver. They have a bunch of dudes, you know, out there that haven't really worked out. And I think for the most part, I know that the Cardinals love to trade back last year. That was their GM's first
Monty
draft.
Austin Fort loves trades.
He loves trading back, so I could also see that. But in a world where they're not doing that, I think it's got to be Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, I think it just the scheme and everything around it. This pick here, I think it works out so great for the Cardinals because they don't need a quarterback. They have Kyler, and I think.
And in a lot of other scenarios, a lot of other years maybe, with different groups of quarterbacks coming out, Marvin Harrison doesn't make it to the
No, absolutely not. And like, he's arguably the best prospect in this class, and they're just getting him in their lap at four. I mean, it's a heck of a fall for him, right in the Cardinals' laps.
Yeah.
All right, another one here, five. This is the plan B team, I think, for the Vikings. If they're not able to get, if the Patriots get cold feet and they don't budge off of three, which could very well happen, I think the Chargers is the next logical place for the Vikings to go. So if they don't get up there, then I think the Vikings are in this five spot, and then they'd be taking like J.J. McCarthy or something. But
yeah,
the Chargers, they just lost their top two receivers. And they need they need people around Justin Herbert. Like, who is he going to throw the ball to? Well, he's going to be throwing the ball to Malik Nabers. I think he is fits the need there. He fits in very nicely in that, hopefully, that Mike Williams type of role where he's this, outside receiver, big bodied, very fast. Hopefully, he won't have the health issues that Mike Williams had, and he'll actually, stay on the field. I think that's going to be something that a lot of Chargers fans, all 10 of them, will be very happy about. They have a lot of needs, but I think it just makes sense that if they really want to just check a massive box off, they just go give their all-pro quarterback an actual, top receiver.
Like a guy, that's name is not Quentin Johnston.
That isn't Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, a guy who can assume it, we assume he'd be good at catching
because
footballs.
You can't expect the Chargers with Justin Herbert to be picking at five, ever again. So it's like you're probably not going to get a blue chip guy unless you find a diamond in the rough. Like a Justin Jefferson late, or even like a Brandon Ayuk even. You're not going to, that's something you're just not going to find a Malik Nabers later outside the top 10.
Yeah, and I do think it's interesting. I'll be very curious, if things fall this way, to see what the Chargers do, because wide receiver is a need. But on the other hand, Jim Harbaugh is a psycho.
Yeah.
And he might just want to draft a bunch of offensive linemen type of thing.
Yeah.
It is interesting. That brings us over here at number six to the New York Giants. And I'm going to confess, I was thinking I was going to take Malik Nabers with this pick.
Yeah.
Because the New York Giants have a need at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And you look at the guys here. You have two pretty high-profile blue-chip kind of tackles at the top here. You have J.J. McCarthy. You got Brock Bowers. It's a little nebulous here. We're starting to get into the territory where it's like, I'm not sure
what
they would want to do.
Yeah, 6 to 15, I feel like, or 6 to at least 13 is such a weird spot for a lot of these teams. Because several of them could use a quarterback. Several of them could use some tackles or some edge rushers. There's a whole bunch of guys. It's what are they going to go with?
Yeah, and I think that I see them in this scenario, assuming they can't trade off the spot or anything like that. I see them going with kind of the chalky safe pick here because their team is such a mess that taking Joe Alt with this pick is probably it's your highest percentage chance of not being a fuck up.
Yeah.
Which is all you can hope for when you're the Giants.
Yeah.
They could take a shot at a wide receiver. They could go with Rome.
JJ even. If they really just wanted to say, well, we fucked up the Daniel Jones thing.
But at this point, I don't think that, it's with tough. These top three guys gone, I don't think that they can, make that gamble here.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give them Joe Alt. Okay. You can always it's never a bad time to draft a tackle is kind of how I view it. And
it's not a sexy pick, but it's a great pick. It's a meat and potatoes pick.
Yeah.
You need to have those.
Yeah, I would have given them Brock Bowers, but they have Darren Waller, so it's maybe they're still trying to make that happen.
If I were them in that situation, I probably would have gone with Rome Odunze, and I think the Titans were probably really, really bummed that Joe Alt went, because
every mock draft I've seen
is Joe Alt,
to the Titans. He already has a house down in Tennessee.
So there's a little zag when everyone's zigging. And so with that, the Titans on the clock, I think that they're I don't love the other tackle option, and we need to start building around if we're going to actually commit to Will Levis. So they're going to go and grab Rome Odunze. Mm-hmm. They're going to take him, give him a superstar possible receiver, give him something. I know they already have D-Hop, but D-Hop's getting old.
Well, they have D-Hop, but not for much longer. They have, what's his name?
Traylon Burks.
Traylon Burks, yeah. who like... hasn't been bad, yeah. but seems like he's more of kind of a role player than a true,
he's,
you know, star.
He's going to be screwed just because everyone's going to be like, we could have had A.J. Brown. Why'd we go for, like, Kmart A.J. Brown?
Yeah.
What the hell is this about? Like, what's this? So, yeah, I have Rome Odunze going to 7. And as a Vikings fan, and I'm sure as you a Packer fan, I'm very glad he didn't, that Rome Odunze did not fall to 9, because the Bears getting Caleb yeah. Williams and Rome Odunze would suck.
To go with their DJ Moore, Keenan Allen situation out here. Yeah.
I would hate it so much.
Yeah, that's definitely worth mentioning. Yeah. So let's see. Now we have the Atlanta Falcons at
Brundo's team.
And this is something, you know, the Falcons, their biggest need is tight end. They just don't have a high-profile tight end that I can think of off the top of my head.
Didn't they pick 8 last year?
Maybe.
I feel like they did.
Yeah.
I think Bijan was 8 last year.
Arthur Smith is just the model of fucking consistency, all right? Every year. Yeah, right. So the Falcons, their biggest need, from what I've seen, and this is kind of, this is another Joe Alt to the Titans. It's what I see in almost every mock draft, because the first handful of picks, usually the first 7 picks, all go offense.
Yeah.
And so
the Which, by the way, we've done.
Yeah. And I think it's very likely then that the first pick on the defensive side of the ball here goes to the Falcons, and it is Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
Because that's a need for them.
I think it's a great pick.
I think it is a great pick.
Because Dallas Turner's really good.
It's like we kind of talked about with Marvin Harrison with quarterbacks, but it's with like offensive pieces where it's like, it's so rare that you get a, you know, that maybe like the top kind of defensive prospect at pick number 8.
Yeah.
Like the first 7 all go, cause sometimes those edge rusher type guys are the 101.
Oh yeah.
You know, the Miles Garrett's of the world and stuff like
Clownies,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That worked out.
He was good for a hot minute.
Yeah. For a second. Yeah. He's fine now. Yeah. He's not a bad player, but. Yeah, so I'm going to give him Dallas Turner. I think we end the streak of the Falcons picking, you know, high octane offensive skill positions and then just refusing to use them because they've collected all of them now. Yeah, maybe they can actually start giving them the fucking football.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Okay. Bears back on the clock. You're at 9. This is a possible trade down candidate, I think, if the board fell this way. They're not going to be able to get the Rome Odunze falling, or even, you know, if they wanted like a Dallas Turner or something like that. You know, they're like, well, we don't love Laiatu Latu, maybe not. I don't know. He's got some health issues. He almost retired because he like broke his neck. That's a scary thing there.
A little scary.
And so I think they're just going to, if we're sticking here, I think they're going to go kind of a meat and potatoes type of a pick again and really fortify that defensive line. And they're going to be taking Byron Murphy the 2nd out of Texas. Defensive lineman.
I got to scroll now.
He's the 12th ranked on PFF.
Yeah.
At least in this one. But
he's the 22nd ranked on Pro Football
Network. Yeah, he's a guy that's been rising up the draft boards kind of during this offseason. I think he's, you know, they're missing that Akeem Hicks role, and I think he would fit in nicely into that, unfortunately, for being another team in the NFC North. But I think it feels very fitting for a pick, because it's rare that you do a offense typically, and they've invested so much in the offense. I think they're going to be like, all right, we got to give Eberflus a defensive guy.
Yeah.
We're going to give him that, kind of similar to how the Texans did with Stroud and Will Anderson last year for D'Amico Ryans. And they're just going to be like, all right, let's fortify some guys that will be there for a long time.
Yeah, and they did pick up, you know, Montez Sweat and stuff like that. So there is some of that going on. I mean, the Bears are just retooling on all fronts. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think they probably could have traded back a couple spots and probably still gotten him. But, you know, in our mock that we're doing here, I think that works.
Yeah.
All right. That brings us to the New York Football Jets at number 10. They're going to take a break from putting out PR fires where Aaron Rodgers insinuates that the U.S. government invented the AIDS virus.
Yeah.
On like a nothing pod. I mean, I guess, you know, it's probably a bigger podcast than our podcast, but like it wasn't like he was on McAfee.
No,
we should try and get an interview with Aaron Rodgers. I bet he'd do it if we let him just talk about.
He's so niche, man.
Yeah. All of his own research. Yeah. So this is. This is a weird spot for the Jets, because I've seen Brock Bowers to the Jets a lot in mock drafts, and I think that is so dumb, because it's like when has Aaron Rodgers had a high profile tight end and needed one?
Never. And how many times did the Packers get him one? Like every offseason.
Yeah, we got him a new one and it never really worked
never
out.
Never worked out.
and you package that with, like, most of the time, rookie tight ends. Now, granted, last year was kind
LaPorta.
Of yeah, yeah, an exception to this rule. Maybe we're seeing a shift there, but most of the time they're not hugely impactful players right away.
No.
And this whole Aaron Rodgers thing kind of has to happen right away. I don't know if you remember, but they did lose a whole season of what they were trying to do with that.
Yep.
So the way that I look at it, and they lost the season because their offensive line sucked, and Rodgers was running for his life for three plays and got hurt. So I'm going to need your help with the pronunciation here because I don't know how to say this guy's name.
Yeah.
Fashanu. Is that how you say it?
Fashanu? Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fashanu. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Olumuyiwa.
Yes. Just like that. Just like that. I'm sure we butchered that. Apologies.
The tackle from Penn State.
Yes.
The tackle from Penn State.
But I'm going to give them a tackle here because I could see them taking a skill position player. I've also seen mocks of them, like, if Roma Dunze falls this far, which I get, but, like, you just got Mike Williams. Too.
Yeah.
Like Mike Williams and Garrett Wilson, you're fine.
Yeah.
And you got, like, you could call Alan Lazard whenever you want, you know. He had like three catches last year. He was doing great.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna go with a tackle here out of Penn State. I think that if they don't draft an offensive line, I will have no sympathy when Rodgers gets hurt again, because it's gonna happen.
Yeah, it definitely would happen. All right, brings up the Patriots now. They are on the clock at 11.
So you guys could have gotten JJ at 11
based on our
mock
draft. World,
yeah.
Yes, in our world, we could have. I don't necessarily think that would be the case because that's where I'm like, I could feel like maybe the Broncos, the Raiders would be kind of trading up into that to get one of those. But for the purpose of this, he is falling. And he is going to fall just to number 11 because then I think the Patriots saying, hey, we got, you know, two first-rounders this year, probably first-rounder next year, and then maybe some other day two, day three stuff.
Well,
and still going to walk away with J.J. McCarthy.
They have a good history with Michigan quarterbacks.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
We're just going to run it back.
I think this is going to be something like, all right, we got another Michigan man. And so J.J. McCarthy going to the Patriots, I think this will be a struggle for him. The Patriots are not
a great
infrastructure right now.
Yeah.
They have a lot of needs, hence why I could see them wanting to trade down, acquire assets. So maybe they pick someone up at 23, but I don't think they're going to get cute and wait for JJ to hopefully fall the next couple picks here. So they're just going to take JJ McCarthy right now. I think even with all the bluster that he's had, that's probably still going to be considered a very good value. Plus, you got the assets and still got him. So JJ McCarthy, Michigan man, going to New England.
Yep, and so then that brings us up to number 12, which is the Denver Broncos. And this is where things...
team also needing a quarterback.
Yeah,
I'm
struggling.
JJ McCarthy here.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this one.
These next two picks could be very fun.
Well, I think the next two picks, like, the way that you look at it, with the quarterbacks going the way that they have, I feel like these teams are going to feel pressured to get a guy because they have... In all actuality, they have no one. Like both of the Broncos and then the Raiders really don't have a serviceable option right now.
No.
So with that in mind, I feel like Michael Penix is probably the pick for the Broncos here.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I would have flipped him a little bit.
You would have flipped it to Nix?
I would have put Nix there.
Sell me on it, because I don't know really who fits better.
Nix fits in better to a Sean Payton offense just because it's a similar kind of scheme fit to how Drew Brees was, whereas Michael Penix is more of a kind of like a run and gun type of a player,
where he's
hitting those outside the number shots, and Sean Payton loves to eat up over the middle a lot more. And that's where Nix just kind of excel a little bit more. Whereas Penix is the deep shots, whereas you don't see that too often in a Sean Payton offense.
But. I gotcha. So that in that case, you've convinced me. I'm going to flip it.
Okay.
They're going to go Bo Nix.
All right.
At 12.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Which this feels like one of those things where we all thought like, shit, what's his name? The banana guy. I'm blanking.
Will Levis.
Yeah. We all thought Will Levis was going to go like top five and he went like day two.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm getting excited about it, but it just seems like they're going to feel a lot of pressure to fix this situation.
And see, that's where I'm also, this is where the Raiders,
there's one quarterback left on the board.
They shouldn't do
that's
this.
Startable.
They shouldn't do this, but they're going to do this because it's the most Raiders thing. And this is something where they're just going to be like, we don't want to miss the boat here. let's take this guy who's probably going to be really pissed off that he'd be the fifth quarterback or the sixth quarterback off the board.
Yes.
And so he's going to probably have come up with a massive chip on his shoulder. We're going to take him. It seems like it just feels like such a Raiders pick. Take the guy with the questionable injury history.
Yeah.
The lively arm, but like, you know, there's the age factor. It just feels like it's not the safest pick, but it's a Raiders pick.
I agree.
So Michael Penix going to the Raiders at 13, and we have a historic six quarterbacks off the board in the first 13 picks. That would be bananas. It would be. I don't know if we're going to get that. I think the last two were just like, let's throw a wild card, because like there are always wild cards, and it just feels so fitting with these two teams being that.
Yeah, I think there's also something where, for whatever reason, I think it, like, the coverage of the draft, right, beforehand, people that are talking about it, people like us that are kind of trying to do predictions, we place a really high value on quarterbacks, which they have the highest value of any position, but there is something where I think if a team doesn't have a good quarterback, we're more prone to just start throwing darts and just trying to figure something out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's, like I said, that's what happened last year with those quarterbacks where everyone was thinking we'd have a whole bunch in the first round. We really didn't, you know, and they didn't really work out anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So let's, I think we can safely say we're done with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't think Spencer Rattler is going.
Spencer Rattler fitting in here.
I got Spencer Rattler going at 14 in the New Orleans Saints. No. So now we have the Saints. And I'm not sure where exactly I want to go. They could go tackle.
Yeah.
They could go edge. I think those are where I would expect them to end up.
And this is one where, too, where, like, Brock Bowers is still on the board. And even if you're not a team that has, like, a massive need at tight end, like, according to PFF, the closest team I see is the Bengals that actually have listed as a tight end.
As a need.
But, like, sometimes teams are just like, okay, we just have to take best player regardless of position. Well, like at some point.
Who's their tight end right now? Because Taysom's a tight end technically.
Is it
Juwan Johnson.
Juwan Johnson still?
Yeah.
Is he still there? I don't know. Either way, the Saints are in such a weird spot. I feel like they're still trying to figure out their identity, the post Deshaun Payton era. And I think Dennis Allen is such a milquetoast kind of white bread.
Well, and it's for that reason that I think I'm gonna go with Fuaga, the offensive tackle out of Oregon State, because this is a similar pick to what we did for the Giants, where it's like you're not really sure, and so you're just gonna go fuck it, and you're just gonna pick an offensive tackle that's a highly touted dude, should be good in the NFL. So Brock's going to slip at least one more. I don't know how much further we're going to go.
Yeah, we still only have two defensive players that have been taken. And we're going to be adding a third because the Colts are loving that this guy fell to them. Mm-hmm. They're going to be taking cornerback Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. I think he is someone that he's a very physical corner, kind of could see a lot of similarity to how he plays the game, like with like Sauce Gardner, where he likes to be, you know, right up in people's faces. You know, he comes from a smaller school, big chip. They're going to be taking Quinyon Mitchell at 15 and first corner off the board.
Yeah, and I think that, if I were them in that situation, the draft fell this way, I would be absolutely stoked.
Yeah.
All right, shout out to the Seahawks. I just did a quick Google. I'm trying to figure out who their tight end is, see if Bowers fits into this situation. They have a whole page on their website for depth chart, and it's just blank. There's just nothing. Nobody's listed.
Yeah.
Like, I guess. Who the hell is it? Is it Noah Fant?
Yeah, I think he's still there, yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, in this situation, with him falling this much, let's see, Noah Fant, Pharaoh Brown. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give the Seahawks Brock Bowers here.
All right.
I think him falling is 16. They do not have, it's not listed as a need, like we said, but he's a pretty exciting talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have decent receivers. Running back is not an issue. Tight end is really that spot where it feels like they don't have a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I thought, I feel like I could see the Seahawks being a team that would go after a Laiatu. Maybe, you know, he just kind of fits that mold a little bit. But I like the Brock Bowers. Like, at some point, a team's like, oh, we have to take him. Like,
yeah.
He's just too good.
Like, he falls so far that you're like, all right, it wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah.
But we can't just overlook
this. The physical tools that he has, like, it's not quite like the Kyle Pitts, but it's not too far off from Kyle Pitts, honestly. Like, how he's able to line up out wide. Like, he doesn't have to be,
yeah,
like, a straight hand-in-the-dirt tight end.
Like, and, like, Kyle Pitts, famously successful in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, a couple touchdowns, at least.
1,000 yards in his rookie year.
3 years. Yeah.
But then, you know, yeah. That was the thing. Never got a touchdown. All right. That brings up the Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock. They are going to go...
They have needs.
Yeah, they have needs.
They have needs, and they have a couple guys that I think around this spot that would fit those needs pretty well. So I'm curious where you go here.
Yeah, I think that they... I think they're going to be too allured by, you know, they're going to want a guy that comes from a blue-chip school, at a need for them. They're going to go with cornerback Terrion Arnold,
yep,
out of Alabama. I think they need to kind of... They're still searching for that Jalen Ramsey replacement that they have not really found. And so they're going to go and hope that Terrion Arnold can be that. I thought Terrion Arnold, too, was a very popular one to the Raiders. That feels like a Raidersy pick. it's just, they love their Bama guys, and, you know, and I don't know, for better or worse, they seem to always take a Bama player. But the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Terrion Arnold at 17.
Yeah, I like that. That's kind of where I would have gone to. Mm-hmm. Again, we keep mentioning it, but these you know, these defensive players that kind of are falling in this draft a little bit here are going to end up, I think, a lot of them being really good values,
yeah,
for where you end up picking them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go ahead. Now we have the Bengals at 18. And the Bengals have some needs. I think they would have definitely scooped up a Brock Bowers if he were here.
Yeah.
I've seen that a lot because I think, you know, like we said, he just doesn't fill a need at a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm.
But in his absence, I'm actually going to go down and I'm going to give the Bengals Johnny Newton, defensive, yeah, tackle out of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I think he fits, you know, a need for them. He kind of bolsters that defensive line that is pretty solid, but kind of needs, you know, a bigger dude in the middle to lock stuff down.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's going to be a nice fit for them, okay, as opposed to some of the other guys. You know, there's other kind of edge rushers out here, but that's less of something that they're in the market for, I feel like.
Yeah. All right. Rams on the clock. They have a first round pick for the first time in like forever.
Hell yeah.
So the Rams are picking at 19. I think that they're going to go kind of similar to a lot of these teams. It's not a sexy pick, but it's a pick that they need. And they're going to be taking tackle out of Washington, Troy Fatanu. Just kind of someone they need to replace. They're still looking for that replacement for Andrew Whitworth. I think they still have Havenstein, another offensive lineman, that for a long time. But
mm-hmm.
I think they need to get some youth on that offensive line. So they're going to go with the tackle out of Washington.
Yeah, I like that pick. I think that makes sense for them, mm-hmm, honestly, and it's it will be interesting to see the Rams actually do something on day one of the draft.
Yeah.
It's been
a long time.
It's been 100 years.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Now we have the Steelers picking, mm-hmm, at 20, and I'm struggling with this one. The Steelers have needs at offensive line and DB,
mm-hmm,
and I don't want to pick Cooper DeJean here because I want to save him for myself, but I don't think you're going to let me do that anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you got a couple teams that need some corners coming up.
Teams that need corners. I mean, we already know Cooper DeJean looks good in the black and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of makes sense for, like, you think about Mike Tomlin and his history of, you know, some good DBs and stuff like that. And that's the other part of this that I've been hearing a lot of chatter about. That DeJean's stock may be rising due to the changes in the kickoff rules,
yeah,
that are implemented this year, because returners, I think, are more valuable. And as we've seen, when he doesn't accidentally call for a fair catch, which is, yeah, very much a thing that happened.
Yeah.
They are so mad about that.
They're still so mad.
And it's like, what did that really change about your season?
Yeah.
Honestly, whatever. But so yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put Cooper DeJean here at 20.
Okay.
I think that he fits a need for them, and I think that he's kind of a dynamic player that they're going to want to take a shot on.
All right. Okay. Dolphins on the clock here at 21. This is one where I think it might not be an overwhelming need for them, but I think they can't pass up a guy that's fallen this far, and they're going to go after and grab Jared Verse, edge out of Florida State. Someone that seems like he could be in the top 15 picks, but the way the board has fallen, I think they're going to be very happy getting him at 21, giving that you know, they need to replace Christian Wilkins that they lost on the defensive line. And I guess he's an edge rusher, but they're going to go Jared Verse.
Nice. I like that one. And let's see here. Next up on the clock, we have the Eagles at 22. Mm-hmm. The Eagles were a team I see frequently scooping up DeJean if he falls this far.
Yeah.
And I think kind of in that same vein, Nate Wiggins from Clemson is the pick that I'm going to go with here.
Okay.
Cornerback, and I think that he's going to help hopefully shore up their pass defense, which was not great last year.
No, it was not. Okay. Patriots back on the clock at 23. They did take JJ McCarthy earlier. They have need at tackle, and I think they're going to want to do that and protect him. So they're going to grab J.C. Latham, tackle out of Alabama. Not a sexy pick, but it's a foundational piece, hopefully, to block, to cover J.J. McCarthy's blindside for years to come.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Let's see here. I really wish, because that brings us up here to 24. Yeah. I really wish that the Cowboys, that I could justify them taking a running back, because I think that'd be really funny. I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
It would just be too much of a reach, I think, for them. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have them take, I'm waffling here between Graham Barton and Jackson Powers Johnson.
Mm, okay.
The two kind of center guard type prospects here. Let's go with Barton. I feel like that's, he seems like a good pick just to shore up the offensive line.
Sure.
And help them out there. Again, not a sexy pick.
No. But,
and I guess, am I getting the next one as well here? Again. We got the Packers picking at 25.
And then I'll do the next two, and then we'll be back on order.
Gotcha. Yeah. And here I am going to go. At one point, I liked Kool-Aid out of Alabama just because his name's Kool-Aid. But his RAS score was terrible. I don't think that there's a high likelihood of them picking him. So really what I'm doing here is I'm looking at offensive tackle in the post David Bakhtiari era.
Uh-huh.
Which, spoiler alert, we've actually been in that for a while.
For a while.
Yeah. I'm looking at either Tyler Guyton or Amarius Mims, two tackles. I think I'm going to go with Guyton here because I think his RAS was like 9.99 or something like that.
Goot likes that.
Goot picks almost exclusively on the RAS. Like he does not. There's no tape. It's just RAS. So we're gonna go Tyler Guyton here to try and protect Jordan Love in the new era.
All right.
Yeah.
We got the Tampa Bay Bucks now on the clock at 26. They have a need on their offensive. They have a lot of needs, but they have a need on the offensive line. Ryan Jensen, their longtime center, just retired. So with that, I think they'd be very happy the Cowboys did not take Jackson Powers Johnson because they will be taking Jackson Powers Johnson. He's a big boy. He can either play center or guard. He's like 330, 335 or something, which is pretty beefy for a center. But he can still kind of play that pivot role. And so they're going to be taking Jackson Powers Johnson at 26.
Very nice.
Cardinals now on the clock. This is one where I feel like they got the receiver. Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily have a screaming need at edge, but it's one of those situations where a guy has fallen this far. I think they're going to just take him just because it's the best player available. So we're going to go with edge rusher out of UCLA, Laiatu Latu. They have walk away with Marvin Harrison and him. I think that's a great first round.
That's a first
Cardinals.
Round you can be excited about. Yeah. All right. Now we have the Bills, who, as we mentioned, we do not expect to kind of last this long down here,
especially with a couple receivers sitting on the board still, but they'd love it. I feel like
there's a couple receivers out here. We have Brian Thomas Jr., we have Adonai Mitchell, and we have Xavier Worthy that are kind of, I think, the top three receivers on the board at the moment. I'm not really gonna think about this one too hard. We're gonna go Brian Thomas Jr. With this pick. I think they probably would be fairly happy with that outcome.
Oh, yeah.
But I could definitely see them trying to be more aggressive and make sure that that happens.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really good fit, too. I think he fits in. He fits in like a mold almost of like a Diggs, Gabe Davis type, where he's bigger than Diggs, but he's got more of like the burner type field stretching ability, maybe in early Diggs, I should say. So I think they're going to be very happy to get him at 28 in this situation. All right. The Detroit Motor City Kitties on the clock at 29.
Which guy with a fun first name are you going to pick here? Because I'm very curious.
Which guy with a fun first name?
Yeah, because I'm looking at two that both have fun first names.
I feel like they're gonna want to do this because I think they feel pretty content with their offense. I think they're gonna want to go defense here, and I don't think they could pass up, especially now that they had to release Cam Sutton because he was on a race across the world or across the country with the police,
fleeing the police. never a situation you want to be
in. No, so they're gonna grab the corner out of Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and I think they're gonna. I think Lions fans will be very excited about that just because they're going to have a guy named Kool-Aid on their team. So, in Detroit, too. The draft is in Detroit. So
yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I was picking between him and Chop Robinson.
Yeah.
And in that same vein, I think I'm going to go Chop Robinson here for the Baltimore Ravens at 30.
Yeah.
There's some wide receivers that I think they could take a swing at, but I think they're happy with, I'm blanking now. What's that dude's name? The Ravens' new receiver, their rookie last year.
Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they're happy with Zay Flowers. I think they have some decent options around him. And yeah, I think that they're going to go Chop Robinson.
Okay. All right, 31. The Niners are in an interesting spot because there's been a lot of rumors and news that Ayuk apparently is not very happy. He might want out. So
I mean, he's a wide receiver in NFL, so yeah.
If that's the case, then I don't know if he'll be necessarily, if he's gone, that makes receiver a massive need for them. So this is I'm just going to be a little cute with this one.
Oh, boy.
I think they're going to go, and if they do make this pick, I think it's a very foregone conclusion that Ayuk will be gone, but I'm going to go with that case that that's going to happen at some point. So they're going to take A.D. Mitchell, receiver from Texas, at 31. And pair him hopefully with Debo if Debo can, his body lasts a while, and Kittle and all that. And I think it's a great situation for A.D. Mitchell. So I think he's going to be very happy with that. Now, if Ayuk stays, then I think they're still not going to hate it because they can have maybe Debo in more of a non-receiver kind of scat, kind of a role.
He loves doing that.
Yeah, he loves it so much.
It's his favorite thing.
Yeah. All right, last pick, first round.
Last pick of the first round, 32. We got the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you looked at the news lately, but they've had some issues with one of their receivers that seemed like he was going to be a guy next year, potentially.
Yeah.
Rashee Rice, racing through urban areas.
Yeah, having to pay a lot of court stuff.
Yeah, rookie wide receivers never do that.
Never.
Never. Never in Kansas City, never in Minneapolis. Nope. No, it doesn't happen. Never in Las Vegas. For their pick here, I am going to take, I think, kind of the top wide receiver left on the board here, and I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy out of Texas.
Okay.
And they're just going to keep picking one wide receiver a year, and it's going to kind of not super work out every year, but that's just what they're going to keep doing because that's their biggest need by a country mile.
Wow, PFF is not fond of Xavier Worthy.
Really?
69th
ranked. Oh, damn. Do they have Keon Coleman ahead of him?
I think so. And they had Troy Franklin and then Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey would be so fun. I think Ladd McConkey's actually be pretty good. I don't know. I like Ladd McConkey, but
yeah.
All right, that's the first round.
Yeah, that's the wrap. And I mean, this is like we kind of talked about. This is a huge draft for both the Bears and the Vikings.
Yeah.
It is much less impactful, I think, for the Packers. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to just trying to chill out during the draft.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be we're going to be together watching this as we usually are. And this could be the most,
this could be the most impactful. I mean, this draft will be a plus or minus for
100%.
Years to come.
100%. A lot of impact.
This is not we're going to trade back and take a tackle type of draft. This is a big deal.
This is a massive deal.
So yeah, I'll just be sitting with my feet up. Hoping for chaos.
Chaos. all right. Well, thanks for listening to our episode of Third and Forever. Visit my 10,000 takes. Go to their website at 10ktakesmn.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. If you just search 10K Takes, you can also find us on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at @third_forever10K. We post links to our episodes each week, as well as clips from the episode, highlights, reactions, memes, news for the Vikings, Packers, Bears, as well as the NFC North, NFL in general. It's officially the NFL draft season. Like, we are finally here. We're finally through all this smoke, hopefully, and could be extremely, extremely impactful, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for half the teams in the NFC North, at least. And we'll see. This is uncharted territory the Vikings are in, and the Bears could be turning over. Maybe they get a guy that can throw for 4,000 yards. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, it's never happened.
It's literally never happened. So
never occurred.
History is not in their favor. It was a big week, and it's gonna be great. I don't know. I might need to chill out, listen to some Taylor. I heard Taylor dropped a new album.
She dropped like two, I think.
Paige and I already she went to Target yesterday, got the record already. So
I haven't listened to the album. I've read some reviews. That people are whelmed. I think
I listened to it once through and a couple songs here and there that Paige would be playing. And so she likes it.
I don't like the Taylor Swift spite albums. I much prefer like when she's not trying to roast somebody, where she's like doing like a folklore where it's just like music. You know, instead of like, I mean, one of her songs talks about like Grand Theft Auto, and it's just, there's some weirdness.
A lot of Maddie Healy on it. A lot of Maddie Healy, who is their rebound after her longtime boyfriend.
Well, Joe. And apparently now Joe is bad, is what I've heard. Yes. Joe cheated on her or something.
That was always the rumor. I don't know. I asked Paige about that. She didn't confirm or deny, I guess. So she wasn't sure how true that is.
Jalen has confirmed it. Okay. I don't know if she actually has any sources, but sure, it's been confirmed.
couple of Travis songs on it. There are a couple of Travis. So High School and the Alchemy.
That's the Grand Theft Auto one. I'm like, that was a weird...
No,
weird
well, lyric. Grand Theft Auto was related to... Well, maybe. I don't know. I thought that was more Maddie Healy.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I'm sure that it will all be decoded soon enough, but...
All right. I've been your host, Adam Oz, joined by my co-host, Kevin Ohm, and not producer, Dustin Rico. Kevin.
Spencer Rattler to Minnesota.